thankful to be here. I just feel led that as we begin to sing this song, begin to search your hearts. Tonight's a night of tonight where the Lord is going to be speaking to us. And I just feel like even right now there's things that he's going to begin to speak to our hearts as we worship him. And I feel an expectancy, and I'm very excited in my spirit. So Lord, we thank you, God, for everything that you're going to do tonight. Lord, we came expecting. We have hope. We have hope and expectation in our hearts, O Lord. Hope and expectation. And we are so thankful. We are so thankful to be able to come into the house of the Lord and worship you in spirit and in truth and pour out our heart. Just ask that you would anoint us to release our worship to you as a corporate body. To release our worship to you as a corporate body, God. And anything that would exalt itself against the knowledge of God right now must stop. It must stop. Cease and desist now. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. He is Lord. He is mighty. He is all powerful.
better than I am.
So much better, Lord.
Whisper to this heart. Whisper to this heart.
And as they're singing this, listen for him to actually speak.
Whisper to this heart.
Again, it's more than a song tonight. It's more than a song. This is a moment that you can have with the Lord if you want it. He will speak to you right where you are, right now.
Whisper to this heart.
You can have an encounter with the Lord in this moment. Listen for his voice.
Whisper to this heart. Would you whisper to this heart? Yeah. his sparks around my head, around my heart. You're barely my faith. You're barely my faith. So good. So good to me, Lord. My heart is the wind.
Pouring out of praise.
good, God. You are good, you are mighty. You are good and you are mighty. You are King of kings, Lord of lords. You give us beauty from ashes. Breathe over ashes here. Let your beauty come forth. 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 Oh, breathe on us. Give us oil, joy. Oil of joy for mourning.
Right now, come on, I want you to begin to sing. The atmosphere of this place will shift if you begin to lift your voice. Come on, let your prayer language begin to arise. He wants to break into this place. Come on, begin to sing in the spirit all across this room. Come on, let a roar begin to come up. We'll be right back. You're coming out. You're coming out. You're coming out. Father, right now we say there's a moving, a coming out, a shifting of seasons, a weekend, Lord, where the Lord, they will look back on this weekend and say it shifted right there. Something shifted in my life in that moment. Nothing's gonna hold me back. Come on. Nothing's gonna hold me. Nothing's gonna hold me. Nothing's gonna hold me back any longer. Any longer. Come on, everything in you. I want everybody across this room. Nothing's gonna hold me. Nothing's gonna hold me. Nothing's gonna hold me. Come on, all across this room, begin to cry. We say restoration, Lord. Restoration. ministries in this room. Restoration to memories in this room, Lord. To worship. Come on, just continue to pray. Stay focused. I feel like that. I'm going to come forth over you right now. I want you to stand in His presence. Come on, as the worship team sings over you, something's going to happen in this room.
Pursue you, and I will.
telling you, the Lord is declaring over you more than you lost. I say more than you lost. Come on, people are falling under the presence of the Lord with nobody touching him. I'm telling you. I say more than you lost. Come on, I say more than you lost. I say more than you lost.
Went to the enemy's camp and I took back what he stole.
More than you lost.
Took back what he stole from me.
Tell you more than you lost. I say right now over you more than you lost. Come on, you're not just getting back what you lost. More, 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 more. I say more. 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 Some kind of spout up here, people. I'm not even touching nobody. More, Lord. Woo! Gonna get back more than you love. More. Come on, more. Come on, just for a couple minutes. Just love on him for a couple moments. There's great wounding in your life. You've endured great rejection. But you must know this night that God's love for you is real. You've endured rejection from a father. Letting your presence come over her right now and wash it away right now. Wash the pain away right now, God. here. Right now, I declare healing in your emotions. Healing in your emotions. Release. Let it go. There's some things you're holding on to. You got rocks in your pockets. It's time to let them go. Come on, you got rocks in your pockets. Let them go. Lord, heal the hurt right now, God. Anger be gone. Something was taken from you. Things have been taken from you. I say He's a God of restoration. And if you commit your life 100% to Him, you'll receive more than you lost. I declare over you more than you lost. More than you lost. Fill her with the Spirit of God right now, Lord. Fill her right now. Right now, God. Right now, God. More than you lost right now. You've questioned whether God is real. Make no mistake about it. He's real. Come on, more than you lost. Man, you feel that? It's a new day. Come on, it's a new day. I want to tell you in this room right now, some of you have shifted into a new day. But it's extremely important that you don't go back and pick up the old thing. Come on, you got a choice to make. You got to walk in the freedom that the Lord gives you. You don't want to go back and pick up the old. He's shifted you out of something as sure as I'm standing here. But you do not want. You have a choice. Do not go back and pick up that which He has removed from you. Come on, piano only. Piano only. Come on, just stand in His presence. Come on, let Him wash you and cleanse you right now. Come on, as He plays the piano, it's going to be like rain begins to fall in here for just a couple moments. Rain beginning to fall.
Wash me clean.
Come on, there's a rain falling like a mist, just like a, there's a mist like falling in this place. Father, I thank You for ministries being restored in this room. Let the rain of heaven come, God. Refreshing. Come on. Come on, there's a refreshing. you search for justice because you have been wronged. I want to tell you and make sure you know, you have been wronged. You have been wronged. But you have too much of your life left to live to allow the pain of the moment. Do not allow the pain of the moment to steal the lifetimes of blessing. Do not allow the pain of a season to stop the lifetime of beauty that He has organized for you. For before He formed you in your mother's womb, He already planned a purpose for you, and you are not an accident. I break every word curse that told you life would have been better without you. That speaks to your mind and tells you this, I break that right now in the name of Jesus Christ. You are valuable. You are a daughter of the Most High God. And His plans and His purposes for you are for good and not for evil, to give you a future and to give you a hope. And when you thought no one was watching, He was watching. He was watching during the abuse. And He's waiting to catch you. Run into His arms of love. Run to, not from. Run to, not from. And if you will allow Him to heal your heart and take away the anger, yes, in the natural, you have a right to be angry, but if you will choose to let go of the anger, the beauty of your life, the beauty of the life that unfolds in front of you will be so much greater than the light momentary affliction that has faced your life. Give her a sense of her value and a sense of her worth right now, God. Stir up on the inside of her a sense of destiny and a sense of purpose. You've lost your sense of value and purpose. I say to you right now, I speak to the seed of destiny in you, and I command it to begin to spring up. I command you to begin to hope again, and I break hopelessness and despair from your life. You will hope again. You will hope in the Lord. Your best days will be ahead of you. You can begin to return to your seat if you can. I didn't intend for all this to happen, but I didn't do it anyway. If you're laying there, continue to lay there. Nobody's going to make you move. It looks like Hurricane Irma came through. Got these people from Florida in here. I guess they brought the residue of Irma. I don't know. Armageddon. There you go. It's Armageddon. Listen, I believe the Lord did some things in the room. I want to give you a chance to sow this evening. This is our third session. And I promise you, folks, I've been going to conferences for years, paying $75 to $125 to go to conferences. The material that's being covered and the way that it's been covered this weekend, you just don't really get that when you go somewhere. I want to give Jeremiah plenty of time tonight, not only to teach you, but to prophesy over you. I believe that there are life-changing words. We saw life-changing words this morning. I know that people's lives were changed because of the prophetic word this morning. And we want to give plenty of time for that. This is my second round. I already been to Tazewell and preached once. So I guess y'all got what they should have got. I had to leave them, couldn't give it to them, so I just brought it here. So anyway, if you're making out a check, make it out to Father's House. And I really want you to give the best possible gift that you can give to Jeremiah. As I told you, Jeremiah is not only a minister, he's my friend. He's not only my friend, he watches over my daughter. She was asleep in his house when Hurricane Irma blew over and she never even rolled over. He sent me a picture of her covered up in the bed. So I honor him and I want you to honor him. So Lord, I thank you right now that you would speak to hearts and you would cause them to sow. And Lord, I thank you that you would rebuke any lack from Jeremiah's life or his family's life. Let us send him away from West Virginia, Lord, blessed. And I just thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Speak to your people. Remove all lack. And we thank you, Lord, for what you're getting ready to do in this place. You can go ahead. I didn't know I was holding you up. Pass that thing. Buckets of money. Fill it up, Lord. Pounds and pounds of money. Would you welcome Jeremiah Johnson as he comes? He's a true man of God, so welcome him as he comes.
Well, amen. That was a great service. You guys are dismissed. Praise the Lord. So, where do we start? By a show of hands, how many of you have been able to make at least one of the sessions so far this weekend? Just let me see your hands, okay? A good amount of you. Doyle had called me months ago and asked me if I would come and do some prophetic training and equipping. And so many of you know I'm based down in Lakeland, Florida, planted Heart of the Father ministry down there. And over the last 5 years have been traveling around the nation, different nations of the earth, and get invited to churches and conferences for different reasons. And one of my favorite reasons is for prophetic training and equipping. So rather than kind of bringing a word and just kind of firing off, we've got handouts this weekend. We're in session three tonight. In the first two sessions, we have laid a really strong foundation for prophetic ministry and for the gift of prophecy. And tonight we're going to talk about the ministry of the prophet, which is different than the gift of prophecy. So if you haven't been here, you might be a little lost. That's okay. If you've been here, I believe we're just going to continue to build on what has already been taught and move into a time of personal ministry. Is that good? So let's go ahead and pass out the handouts. This is my assistant, Matt. Matt and his family live down in Lakeland. He travels with me all over, works full-time for Jeremiah Johnson Ministries. Boy, I must have blown that microphone out. But as Matt is passing the handouts out, I do want to just draw your attention quickly to the table in the back there. Resources, books, tapes have changed my life personally. Always love to come and give out some free things to people, and also encourage you to check out the table. I recently did a message called Going Deeper in God. How many of you want to go deeper in God? You know, there's a picture in the book of Ezekiel of a river, and some people are ankle deep, some people are knee deep, some people are waist deep. No matter where you're at with God, there's always a greater experience of Him for you. And so if you're wanting to go deeper in Him, I'd encourage you to check out that message in the back. But who can I give it to? I saw your hand first. Bless you, man. Don't drive while you listen to that. There is several books that I've written. I'm actually working on several right now. I'm on a social media break from my personal page, but you can follow us at Jeremiah Johnson Ministries on Facebook. Where, as I said, I'm working on several more books, but there is a couple back there. One that's back there, it's called The Micaiah Company, A Prophetic Reformation. I wrote this book with my prophetic father, Lauren Sanford, and this book is talking about the reformation that's coming in the prophetic ministry. Lou Engel was one of the ones that was kind enough to give an endorsement of this book. A lot of good stuff in here. I encourage you, if you want more of the prophetic, this is a great read. Who can I bless this with? Here you go, bro. Lots of audio series back there. This is a brand new one that we just did called Prophets and the Fivefold Ministry. I'm going to teach a little bit about this tonight on apostles, prophets, teachers, pastors, and evangelists. But if you believe that you have a fivefold ministry call in your life and you want to grow in revelation and insight into that, and specifically the ministry of the prophet, this is a great series for you. Who can I bless this with? All right. Lastly and finally, we do have partner cards in the back. We do have partners from all over the United States that partner with Jeremiah Johnson Ministries. If you're interested in becoming a partner on a monthly basis, we do everything from partner calls. Monthly, we get on the phones and I share about what God is saying to me for the nation. We have a partners conference in Lakeland every year that's coming up next month. Good friends, Lance Wallnow, Dr. Michael Brown, and Lauren Sanford will be there. There's a special partners luncheon for our partners only. I also take our partners to Israel every year in May. You get $500 off your trip as a JJM partner. So if you would like to learn more information about becoming a monthly partner, a lot of people, you know, they enjoy the ministry and then I leave. If you want to stay more connected, even after I go, I want to encourage you to pick up a card and talk to Matt in the back. And Matt, just one more thing. There's a clipboard coming around. If you would just like our monthly newsletter that we send out, you can write your email and your name on this board that's been passed around, and we will log you into our system, and we send out several emails a month. Sometimes the Lord gives me dreams and visions and things that we want to get out to the nation. If you want to be on the email list, you can sign up there. All right, got your hand out. The infomercial is over. If you have your Bibles, would you turn to Ephesians chapter 4? Ephesians chapter 4, again, my prayer is that the two sessions that we've done so far this weekend have been an encouragement to you, have opened up your eyes more to prophetic ministry, and now we're going to talk about the ministry of the office of the prophet. So Ephesians chapter 4. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for this gathering. Lord, we do pray for a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of who you are. Lord, I ask that you would enlighten the eyes of our hearts that we might know you better. Thank you for this gathering tonight. Thank you that no one is here by mistake. In Jesus' name, amen. So in Ephesians chapter 4 here, Paul begins to share about the ascension of Jesus Christ. Many people have been taught about the resurrection. They've been taught about the crucifixion. They know about the life of Jesus. But if you were asked people, why did Jesus ascend into heaven? So we know that he came for 33 and a half years. He died. He rose again. And then it says in the Acts chapter 1 that he appeared over a period of days, revealing himself, making many convincing proofs that indeed he was the Son of God and that he rose from the dead. And then it says that he ascended up into heaven. A lot of people have never been taught about the ascension of Jesus Christ, and Paul teaches it here, and I'm just going to unpack it for you. So it says in verse 7, Ephesians 4, 7, but to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says that when he ascended on high, he led captive a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. He ascended, what does it mean except that he also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is himself also he who ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. So Jesus Christ ascended into heaven that he might fill all things. This word fill is a Greek word polero, which means to richly furbish with a substance. So imagine Jesus ascending into heaven, and as he ascends, he begins to fill the earth with a richly furbished substance. What does that mean? Look at verse 11. And he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors, and some as teachers. So as Jesus ascends into heaven, he fills the earth with a richly furbished substance. In other words, he begins to fill the earth with who he is as he releases and gives the ministries of apostles, prophets, teachers, pastors, and evangelists. So in other words, I want you to track with me, Jesus Christ has filled the earth with apostles, prophets, teachers, pastors, and evangelists to fill the earth with who he is. So the primary purpose of apostles, prophets, teachers, pastors, and evangelists is to reveal Jesus Christ in the earth. The reason why Jesus died, he rose again, and then he ascended into heaven was that he might fill the earth with apostles, prophets, teachers, pastors, and evangelists, that they might rightly represent him. So Jesus was the apostle, capital A. Hebrews 3:1, he is the apostle of our confession. So Jesus was the apostle, and as the apostle ascended, he released little apostles, little a, little apostles to reveal the big apostle. Jesus was the prophet. Jesus, as the prophet, ascended and released little prophets, little p. Jesus was the pastor. He was the good shepherd. Jesus, the pastor, ascended and he filled the earth with pastors that they might represent the pastoral side of who he was. Jesus was rabbi. He was teacher, Rabboni. So Jesus, the teacher, ascended that he might fill teachers, little t, to represent his teaching ministry. And finally, Jesus, the great soul winner, the greatest evangelist of all time, he ascends into heaven and releases generations of evangelists in the earth to rightly represent him. I'm going to wager that 99% of you have never heard that before. Why did Jesus ascend into heaven? He ascended into heaven to fill the earth with apostles, prophets, teachers, pastors, and evangelists to rightly represent him in the earth. So imagine Jesus, as he was the fullness of ministry, he released himself to five different ministries, and we need five different ministries to rightly represent him in the earth. So without all five ministries, without apostles, without prophets, without teachers, without evangelists, and without pastors, thank you, we're not going to get a full expression of who he is. So this is why, if you just have a pastor of a church and that's the only person that you're ever getting ministered to by, you are only being exposed to 1/5 of who Jesus really is. Okay, I want you to feel the weight of this. This is why the American church is so messed up. I'm gonna take you there. We have to have all five ministries. We have to be exposed to apostles who revealed Jesus as the apostle to us. We have to have prophets who reveal Jesus as prophet. We have to have the evangelists, we have to have the teachers, and we have to have the pastors revealing who Jesus really is. Now, one of the problems is these people in these ministries think it's all about them. So rather than pumping Christ, they pump their ministry. So one of the problems in the church today is that the fivefold ministry is not Christ-centered. They are thing-centered. So we preach everyone but him. Some are of Apollos. Some are of Cephas. We have our personality cults. I'm a part of such and such a movement. I follow. Yeah, but do you follow Christ? And Paul said, of course, follow me as I follow Christ. So we need to be centered on Christ. But it's okay to be taught and be instructed by men that are graced with the fivefold ministry call. But just make sure if you're following them, they're revealing Jesus to you. Okay, how are we doing? I know I just jumped in like, now we're swimming underwater. Okay. Look at verse 11. And he gave some. I want you to say some. Some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers. Does everyone in the body of Christ have a call to these five ministries? No. Not everyone in the body of Christ is called to be an apostle. Not everyone in the body of Christ is called to be a prophet. Not everyone in the body of Christ is called to be a pastor, a teacher, an evangelist. One of the problems currently in the body of Christ is everyone thinks they're somebody. So we have false apostles, false teachers, people that do not have the grace of God upon their life, because they're self-appointed. They wrote apostle on their business card, and that's why they're an apostle. They got a website and said, I'm prophet doodad, so now call me prophet. So one of the problems in the body of Christ is everybody thinks, I'm an apostle, I'm a prophet, I'm a whatever. We need a serious dose of humility in the body of Christ, one. And then two, what we have to understand is, it's okay if you don't. It's okay if you don't have a fivefold ministry calling in your life. Here's scary latest statistics. Did you know that 8 out of 10 men and women who are graduating from Bible college and seminaries are not in ministry 5 years after they graduated? So 80% of students who are going to Bible college and seminary are not in ministry 5 years after they graduated because they never even had a call to the fivefold ministry. How we doing? Some to be. So not everyone's a prophet, not everyone's an apostle, not everyone's a pastor, and it's totally okay. God has still given each of us grace. Some of us are called to helps ministry. Some of us are called to the worship team. Some of us are called as ushers. Some of us operate in hospitality. Some of us are called to kids ministry and women's ministry and men's ministry. We say, yes, we need it. Amen. But not everyone has a call to the fivefold ministry. What is the purpose of the fivefold ministry? Verse 12, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service, to the building up of the body, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man. I'll just stop there. I want to point you to verse 13. It says, until we all attain unity. How many of you believe right now the body of Christ is 100% unified? Obviously not. How many denominations there are? Like 633. I'm crazy. thousands. Okay. So long as we don't have 100% unity in the body of Christ, so long as that doesn't happen, we need apostles, prophets, teachers, pastors, and evangelists. So people are going to tell you, I don't believe in modern day apostles. I don't believe in modern day prophets. All that's done away with. There's just pastors. And what we've done in the contemporary church is we've just got it down to, we believe in pastors and teachers and maybe evangelists. But we've done away with apostles and prophets. Because quite frankly, even that terminology scares people. Apostles and prophets, what do you mean, brother? We just want pastors, we want teachers, and we want evangelists. And again, if you're going to go that route, you're only going to get 3/5 of Jesus. So I tell it's people, it's dangerous to only listen to one person. There are people, there are leaders in the body of Christ that I know who challenge me based off of what I'm teaching you tonight by saying, well, I don't believe in what you're saying because I'm an apostle, I'm a prophet, I'm a teacher, I'm an evangelist, and I'm a pastor. So basically they say, I'm Jesus Christ. They say this like it's spiritual. And I want to tell you, it's pride. At the most, Paul said, and he referred to himself, he said, I'm apostle, I'm a teacher, and I'm a preacher. So at the very most, what I believe is, if you have a fivefold ministry calling on your life, you have a primary, and then you have a secondary. So Paul primarily was called as an apostle of Jesus Christ, and secondarily, he was a teacher of the church, and the Lord called him to preach. But do you find anywhere in the New Testament where Paul said, I'm a prophet? Do you find anywhere in the New Testament where Paul said, I'm an evangelist? Absolutely not. So even Paul the apostle, who wrote most of the New Testament, would not dare say, I'm an apostle, I'm a prophet, I'm a teacher, I'm an evangelist, I'm a pastor, so we don't need anybody else. What's at the core of this is just simply pride. We refuse to work with one another in the body of Christ. And so for one person, week in and week out, continue to preach and teach the people of God, that's, to me, you're never going to expose the people of God to the fullness of who God is. And because of that, keep reading here in verse 14, as a result, we will no longer be children tossed here and there by every wave and carried around by every wind of doctrine. So long as the body of Christ is not exposed to all the ministries, what's happening in the body of Christ is we're being blown back and forth by every wind of doctrine and teaching. We are in infancy state. We are immature in the body of Christ because, quite frankly, we have chosen to do church in a way that's not biblical. That's how strongly I feel about it. I believe that the American model of church is not biblical. How we doing? So this whole, I mean, you're like, so, we've spent this weekend talking about the gift of prophecy. So the gift of prophecy in 1 Corinthians 12 and 1 Corinthians 14 is available to all believers. Anyone can operate in the gift of prophecy. Words of knowledge, words of wisdom, discernment of spirits, possibly and potentially predicting the future in some capacity. That gift is available to all believers. That's what we've covered so far. So there are gifts of the Holy Spirit, and then here in Ephesians chapter 4, we find five ministries that God has given the church. So the way that I distinguish them is this. There are believers who have the gift of prophecy, and then there are prophets who they themselves are the gift to the body. Say it one more time. Any believer can possess a gift, the gift of prophecy. It's what we've talked two sessions so far. They can operate in words of knowledge, words of wisdom, distinguishing of spirits. Check your sessions already, okay? They can have a gift. But prophets themselves, they themselves are the gift. In other words, they don't try to be prophetic, they are. So tonight we're going to distinguish the difference between believers who have the gift of prophecy and then people that actually are called to the ministry or the office of the prophet. Did I lay some good foundation for you? Where is it found? Ephesians 4. The reason why I believe there are modern day prophets is, number one, Jesus gave us prophets when he ascended, and number two, there will be modern day prophets in the church so long as we are ununified in the body of Christ. People that believe in cessationism, that tell you the gifts of the Holy Spirit are not for today, I don't believe in modern day apostles and prophets, one of the first questions that I ask them is, so you believe that the church is completely unified? And obviously they're going to say, well, no, brother. And I'm going to say, okay, then let's go back to Ephesians chapter 4 and dive into the Word of God, okay? So here we go, Roman numeral 1. Here's your, that was your introduction. So let's jump in here, the office of the prophet. There are individuals who operate, your first fill in the blank is, in the gift of prophecy. There are individuals who operate in the gift of prophecy. And then there are New Testament prophets who have been tried, tested, and tempted over a period of years and have been found to be trustworthy, full of character, and accurate in their delivery. Those who operate in the gift of prophecy find their foundation in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. But those who are called to the office of the prophet find their foundation in Jeremiah chapter 1. When God called Jeremiah as a prophet to the nations, God gave him a ministry of uprooting, tearing down, overthrowing, destroying, building, and planting. So there were six primary things that God called Jeremiah to as a prophet of the Lord. Again, uprooting, tearing down, destroying and overthrowing, building and planting. That's a 4-to-2 ratio. 4 negatives, 2 positives. 4 negatives, 2 positives. I also like to refer to people to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 2 and 3, when Paul is instructing Timothy about the Word of God and how to handle it, he says, preach the Word in season and out of season, correct, rebuke, and encourage. What's that ratio? 2-to-1. Correct and rebuke, encourage. So in Jeremiah 1, I'm just making a point here. In Jeremiah 1, the call of a prophet, 4 negatives, 2 positives. People are going to say, well, that's Old Testament, brother. Well, what about New Testament? 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. The Word of God is supposed to be for correction, rebuke, and encouragement. 2-to-1. So let's just step outside for a minute, even of the ministry of the prophet. What people don't understand about the preaching and the teaching of God's Word, it doesn't matter who's teaching, whether it's an apostle, whether it's an evangelist. When you hear the preaching of God's Word, if you believe every time you hear the Word of God, you're supposed to be encouraged, you're not understanding the Bible. And the seeker-friendly church just crumbled. We have taught people in the church that if you don't leave encouraged, self-helped, motivated, if you don't leave the church feeling better about yourself, there's something wrong with the preacher. Let me help us. We do not tell God what to do. He tells us what to do. We do not stand above the Word of God. We stand underneath the Word of God. So the Word of God is powerful in that it is given for correction. It is given for rebuke. It's given to adjust, to challenge, to shift. It's given to cause us to examine, even if we're in the faith. How are we doing? So a lot of people, when you say prophet, they're going to say, oh, those are just those people that just, you know, tickle you and encourage you. When someone says, you know, I'm called to be a preacher, you're just going to think of Joel Osteen. You're just going to think of, well, when I'm down and I need someone to encourage me, call Joel. Again, I want to draw us back to the Word of God. The Word of God is for correction, it's for rebuke, and it's for encouragement. So here's what Jeremiah is saying. I'm not against encouraging sermons. I'm not against the broken and the hurting needing to come in to church services and be coddled. Listen, I believe that when people come to Christ and they're babies and they're infants in the faith, they need to be coddled. It's just like a newborn. They need to be loved. They need to be nursed. They need somebody to hold their hands. I'm good with that. I'm not preaching against the encouraging part of the heart of God. I'm totally not preaching against that. But here's what's happening in the church. People that have been in God 20 years still want their diaper changed. So it's okay to nurse people on encouragement. And they need to know that God loves them. But can I tell you, God wants you to get to a place in your walk with Him where you never again doubt that He loves you? Like for me, this is not an issue. I don't need to hear a sermon about the love of God because I believe with Paul, nothing can separate me from the love of God. Okay, how are we receiving this? Okay? Because again, we feel like when people start, they're mad, they're angry, they're mean, they're intense, I'm happy. But I'm telling you the truth. You know, I always tell people, before the truth sets you free, it will make you angry. Okay. I know I'm here to talk about prophets. But I'm telling you, we have to see a reformation in the body of Christ. We have to do away with these church models and these programs. People, here's what a mature believer in Jesus needs to hear. They need to hear when they walk into a church, welcome to Father's, what's this place, International? Father's House. Where are we? Welcome to Father's House International. Welcome to a church where it's not about you. I'm telling you, people are so deceived about walking into a church about what it's all about. People studying for the ministry, they're being deceived about what it's all about. Again, I'm okay with coddling. I'm okay with nurturing. I'm okay with holding people by the hand in their early stages with the Lord, walking them through their brokenness, their inner healing. But guess what? There comes a point in our walk with the Lord where we have to grow up. I'm not a victim any longer. I'm more than a conqueror in Jesus Christ. Okay, again, I'm not pushing anybody out. I'm not throwing you away. I'm not saying God doesn't understand your pain and your brokenness and what you went through in your childhood. Okay, I'm not throwing you away. All I'm saying is we are majoring on encouragement in the body of Christ, and we are minoring on rebuke and correction, and the current state of the church is the fruit of that. So I bless you with that. I don't even know where that came from, but I bless you with that. So Jeremiah 1, the call of the prophet. So just because an individual prophesies does not make them a prophet. I believe one of the most erroneous teachings in the body of Christ, and I'm not going to tell you where it came from because you'd know their name, but I believe one of the most erroneous teachings in the body of Christ was telling people that just because they prophesied, it made them a prophet. I don't believe that. I believe someone can have the gift of prophecy, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they themselves are the gift to the body. So there is a process. There's your fill in the blank. There's a process that every prophet of God will be taken through in order to fully mature and develop their gifting and character. It typically takes 15 to 20 years. I hate to break it to you, but it takes more than a weekend with Jeremiah. Told you this before. I do prophet schools with different prophets all over the nation, and they want to hand people certificates after three sessions saying, congratulations, you're now a prophet of God. I have a huge problem with that. Can people over a weekend grow in knowledge and understanding and absolutely, that's why I'm here. I'm here to help you to learn and grow in the call that's on your life, the gift of prophecy. But just spending a weekend with a prophet doesn't make you a prophet, okay? So it takes 15 to 20 years for a prophet's call to be fully developed. And this is with proper fathering and discipling involved. We hit on this in session 2. You cannot operate at high levels in the spirit without accountability. If you're going to grow in the prophetic mantle, if you're truly called to be a prophet of God, the way that you're going to ascend and grow in maturity is by having someone constantly checking your life in the words that you give. They're going to call you to the carpet. I literally have been at conferences where when I got back to the hotel room, the phone rang. It was my prophetic father who was watching what I had just said and said, what the heck was that, man? I mean, I couldn't even get back to the hotel room before he's calling me, challenging me on what I had just prophesied an hour before. I thank God for that. I have a father in my life right now that hears me preach week in and week out, and he writes me letters when he thinks that I'm off biblically. He will say, hey, let's go back to 1 Kings 18. You said you had a prophetic revelation on that. I'm going to tell you that's not what it says. Now, rather than being an orphan, rather than saying, I'm Jeremiah Johnson with a huge ministry and no one can tell, no one can, I'm going to say, thank God. You know what? Let's open up a dialogue. Thank you for having the courage to challenge me and say, you know what? Maybe what you preached wasn't biblically accurate. Let's have a conversation. I thank God for that in my life. But if someone is called to be a prophet of the Lord, and again, it's more than just being called. Do you want to grow in maturity? Because what I run into is a lot of people who gloat over their calling, but they're immature. I meet a lot of young people truly called of God. You know what they need to hear? So what? I can introduce you to a lot more called people, but what separates people that have a call from people that truly excel in their calling most of the time is healthy mentorship, fathering and mothering from people that have gone before them. So I want to encourage you, if you have a call to the fivefold, if you're called to be an apostle or a pastor or a teacher and evangelist, find people around you. You know, again, the phenomena of social media is that you can connect to fivefold ministry leaders in the body of Christ, and they don't even have to be your pastor. You can podcast them, you can YouTube them, you can read their newsletters, you can buy their teachings, you can read their books, you can be fathered and mothered and mentored from afar. That's what's great about the body of Christ. So the need to be called a prophet or referring to oneself as a prophet so-and-so is an immediate red flag. Now, in some cultures in the body of Christ or in some movements, people have an expressed need to introduce themselves as Apostle Doodad or Prophet Doofus or whatever that their name is. And I have been around people in the body of Christ who seriously get offended when you will not call them by their title. Here's where I stand on this issue. I get honor. I get wanting to respect the place that God has called someone. But here's where I take people. Never, not one time in the New Testament does Paul refer to himself as Apostle Paul. I want you to track with me. He introduces himself as Paul, an apostle. What is he doing? He is separating his identity from his function. I want you to catch that. The problem is when people that have a fivefold ministry calling, they associate their identity with their function, and this is a great mistake. Paul, a son of the Father, called to function as an apostle in the body of Christ. Are you hearing me? Jeremiah, a son to the Father. Because here's the thing. If we can't function without titles, we're orphans. I don't need to, I don't demand somebody call me apostle or prophet Jeremiah because that doesn't define me. What defines me is I'm a son to the Father, and that's who I really am. And I'm going to relate to you as so. I want to encourage you, there's this title hungry thing going on in the body. And again, it's like everybody's an apostle. Everybody, just write it on your business card, write it on your website, just mark it yourself. And honestly, I don't need to introduce myself as a prophet for you to be able to recognize I'm a prophet. I should just be able to be introduced as Jeremiah. I should be able to flow in the call God has on my life. And you should be able to leave the meeting determining whether I'm a prophet or not. How am I helping anybody? So I want to encourage you to be careful in these cultures that are heavy, title-oriented. They have their identity and their function mixed up, and at the core of them is a deep need to be seen, a deep need to be heard. They're bound in performance. They're addicted to platforms. They've never been in a prayer room. They derive their identity based off of crowds, how many Facebook followers they have. Who cares? I'll say it again. Who cares? All right, how are we doing? So I better move on. But here's what I say. Before people enter into ministry, they need to get delivered of ministry. I would rather stand on the sea of glass, behold the one who sits on a throne, than stand on any stage anywhere. Again, where am I deriving my identity, my worth and my value and my significance from? Making a name for myself in the body of Christ, or knowing that God knows me and who I am and I know Him? Let's just rest in that. All the rest is just icing on the cake. Okay, A, the training ground. The wilderness is the training ground for every true prophet of God. It destroys fleshly ambition. It wrecks the need to be seen. It teaches humility in ways that none of us can teach ourselves, destroying our fleshly confidence in self until nothing remains but a purified hunger for the Lord Himself. It is in the wilderness where authentic prophets find their voice. They learn how to die to pride and arrogance and become dependent upon God for everything, taking up the cross and following Jesus is center stage in the wilderness. All right, can I be honest? Yes or no? I was going to be anyways. There could be. There is a possibility that there are more people in America who think they are prophets than there really are prophets. There could be. There's a pretty good possibility. I mean, pretty good. That more people think they're prophets than really are. Here's my honest comment. Real prophets are people that have no interest in being one. I have never met a real, true prophet of the Lord who enjoyed it. And you feel that I have that deer in the headlight anointing going on tonight. True prophets don't want to be the prophet because they know the price that they're going to have to pay to carry the word and heart of God for his people. See, to be truly called as a prophet of the Lord puts you in the tension between a holy God and sinful man. It's no small thing to be called as a prophet of the Lord. And this is why the difference, some of you should feel relief. Oh, thank God, I just have the gift of prophecy. You know, there's such a hunger. I don't know why I'm getting into this. I'm just going to trust it's for some of us in here. You know, there's such a heavy emphasis right now in the body of Christ on impartation and activation. You know, we have our rock star Christian leaders. You know, your Mike Bickles and Bill Johnsons and, you know, Rick Joyners and, you know, all these well-known people. And again, I'm not bashing them. Damon Thompson, you know, they're well known. They have established platforms. Rodney Howard Brown, all these different people, established platforms. And so people, the saints, they dream about if they'll just lay their hand on me and give me what they've got, my life will change. And I don't know if you've ever been in these conferences or these environments. I have all the time. People will literally bum rush the stages just to get a touch. You know, they've been pumped with if their shadow, you know, everything will change. And so we line up altars and we line up all these people. Just one touch will change everything. Just one touch from the man or woman of God. So it's all about impartation. Here's the honest truth. I can impart a gift to you, but I cannot impart my personal history in God to you. And it's my personal history in God to you that sustains the gift that I carry. All right, Holy Spirit, help us. I'm going to say it again. I'm not preaching against having people lay hands on you and the transference and all that getting slain in the Spirit. Everything that happened tonight was good and great and God bless it and amen. But if you're going to rock star Christian leaders, if you're going, I want the impartation of the apostle and the prophet and the man or woman of God, if they'll just, fine, good, great. But understand, they can impart a gift to you, but they cannot impart the private battles that they won in secret. They can't impart, I'm going to tell you the truth, the hell they paid for what they carry. And so it all culminates in this. Many of us, if you knew the price that they paid for what they carried, you wouldn't run down the altar, you would run out the door. Okay, let that cut into all our dreams and ambitions of being so-and-so. You don't want to be them. And the truth is that some of us don't even have grace to do what they do. So let all the jealousy, all the pride, all the selfish ambition, let's just lay that. Listen, there's so much self-promotion. There's so much competition. It's like a rat race. I don't know if you're on social. It's like we're trying to get the most followers, the most speaking engagements. We're trying to push ourselves out there, and we're about to push ourselves into a realm that God hasn't even given us grace for, and we're getting eaten up by the devil. So stay in your lane. Settle in on, Lord, if you've called me and you've just given me the gift of prophecy, praise the Lord. Lord, if you've called me to be a kids worker, if you've called me to make food, hallelujah, pray. Here's what I take comfort in. When I get to heaven, I'm just going to be responsible for what God gave me. So some God has entrusted with these things, and others God has entrusted with thousands. Let them answer to God and you answer to God. Okay, amen? But there's a price to pay. So let's look at Roman numeral 2, true prophets. Let me give you some earmarks of true prophets. So let me tell you a little bit about the prophet's ministry to help you. So let's look at letter A. A true prophet is committed to consistently evaluating and critiquing man-made structures and religious traditions out of a deep love for God and His church. A true prophet is committed to consistently evaluating and critiquing man-made structures and religious traditions out of a deep love for God and for His church. A true prophet's ministry will appear at times very confrontational and critical of existing church structures that have become or are becoming obsolete, irrelevant, and a great hindrance to the Spirit of God. Now, this is some of the tension when you have truly called prophets of God that have been called to tear down and uproot, to overthrow and destroy. They are going to attack and seek to tear down structures and practices in the body of Christ that they sense are hindering the Spirit of God from moving. True prophets of God cannot stand man worship. Why? Because they live for the worship of Jesus Christ. True prophets have been set in the body of Christ, again, to reveal Jesus Christ to us. B, a true prophet is a blessing to apostles and helps them from becoming rigid, legalistic, controlling, and authoritarian. Prophets are called to keep apostles from functioning from the position of the letter that kills and move them to a place that the Spirit gives life. Prophets must work closely together with apostles so that blind spots can be revealed. So in Ephesians 2:20, it says that the foundation of the church is built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. So you have these five ministries. The apostles and prophets are foundational ministries. Jesus Christ is the foundation. He is the cornerstone. He is the head of the church. So I want you to get this. Apostles and prophets are not the foundation of the church. Apostles and prophets are called to reveal the foundation of the church, who is Jesus Christ. Because if we're going to build a true New Testament church, we cannot build a church off of personality. We cannot build a church off of someone's gifting. We can't build it off of their charisma. We have to build it off of the person of Jesus Christ. So every church that is not built on the rock solid foundation of Jesus Christ is not a New Testament church. I'm telling you, this stuff gives me the fear of the Lord. You know, in most cities and regions, you literally couldn't name one church that fits that category. You could not name one church that truly pumps and believes Jesus is our all in all. They're pumping their name, the name of their church, their organization, their titles, blah, blah, blah. But where's Jesus? He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. The pastor can't save you. The church can't deliver you. Only he can. So your apostles and prophets, again, Ephesians 2:20, they're foundation layers. They alone carry the blueprints and the revelation of Jesus Christ as the foundation of the church. I want to say that one more time. Apostles and prophets, because they are foundation layers, only those two ministries out of the five, only apostles and prophets carry the blueprint by way of revelation to clearly lay Jesus Christ as the foundation of the church. So I'm going to make another startling statement. So if churches are being planted without apostles and prophets, they cannot be planted on Jesus Christ. Because they do not carry the grace and revelation into the person of Jesus. And again, I mentioned what the contemporary church has done is we just believe in pastors, teachers, and evangelists, no more apostles and prophets. So we have taken out the foundation layers in the church, and we've just gone with pastors, teachers, and evangelists. And here's the biggest, the best picture I can give you. Imagine a big, beautiful, stunning church. It looks amazing on the outside. Amazing. An apostle and prophet walk up. They're not even going to walk into the church. They're going to say, "Take me to the basement." They walk down in the basement and the foundation is cracked. Here's what a true apostle and prophet is going to say. Tear it down. People say, "Oh my gosh, though, but have you seen this great, beautiful, huge church? I mean, the people, the offering, the programs, it's amazing." And your true apostles and prophets are going to say, "But if it's not built on the foundation of Jesus Christ, and fire comes, which we know in the Bible it's coming, it will burn up everything that was not built upon him." And hear the word of the Lord. I prophesy to you that if a fire would come to the American church, it would burn it up. Because we've not chosen to build on him. I just can't imagine how Jesus feels. He died for his church. He gave five ministries in the earth to reveal him. What we've done is we've used the gifts he's given us to pimp and prostitute ourselves out. I remember a brother, an apostle, he shared a dream with me where in the dream he was at his church. People were worshiping during the worship time. And Jesus Christ walked into the midst of the worship, and he said to them, or he said to this brother, "Who are they worshiping?" Thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of churches are going to gather tomorrow, Sunday morning, all over America. Can you imagine Jesus? They think they're worshiping him, and really they're worshiping a god of their imagination. How few ministries, and again, this is what Paul wrote to Timothy, and he said, "I can literally find no one who promotes the cause of Christ and does not look after their own interest." I'm telling you, God is about to release apostolic and prophetic messengers to the body of Christ who are going to live, eat, and breathe Jesus Christ. They're going to preach his life, his death, his resurrection, his ascension. They're going to have encounters with the God-man. They're going to give themselves to living in the throne room and gazing upon the beauty of the way. He's the fairest of 10,000. There's no one like our Jesus. But I'm convinced that the church is desperately sick because we're not serving him to the people. I hope you feel the weight of this. So apostles and prophets are the foundation layers. Your pastors, your teachers, and evangelists, they're your builders. Okay, so your apostles and prophets are your foundation layers. They alone carry the revelation of Jesus Christ to his body. And your teachers, evangelists, and your pastors, they build into the revelation of Jesus Christ. I want to ask you very simply tonight, is Jesus Christ the foundation of your life? We are the church. We are the temple. We are the dwelling place of God. Are you founding your life on the rock-solid person of Jesus Christ? Where are you putting your hope? Where are you putting your trust? Where are you spending all your time? If you're not investing all of your life in him, you're living a life that's unworthy of the call on your life. It's personal, and then it's here. Are you attending a church? Is Father's House International? Is your church, or is this church, building on the rock-solid foundation of Jesus Christ? God is raising up churches in the earth that are going to talk more about Jesus than the name of their church. When I'm out evangelizing, I'm not trying to invite people to my church. I'm trying to invite people first into an encounter with Jesus. Our churches, our gatherings, they're just the vehicle to encounter him. The role of church leadership is not to plug you into a program. The role of church leadership is to plug you into a man. His name is Jesus. I wanted to write a book called The Body of Our Lord is Broken. Let's just close our eyes for a minute. I just believe that the Lord is going to release an entire generation of intercessors who are just going to weep over the current state of the church. We have got to get gripped with how far off we really are from what Jesus died for. We have got to get gripped with the stench of man worship that's coming before his throne right now. We've got to get gripped with how much we've made ministry about us and not about him. So, Father, we repent. We not repent for our lives, but we corporately repent on behalf of the church. We say that there's only one head of the church. His name is Jesus. We say that there's only one senior pastor. His name is Jesus. We say that there's only one bishop of our souls. His name is Jesus. God, we're asking, I'm asking, Father, that you would release a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of who you are. God, we're asking that you would tear down the personality cults in America. Thank you for the men and women that we're growing from, that we're learning from. But I pray for a fresh hunger for the secret place like never before. Come on, we got to find balance here. Learning and growing from men and women of God, but then we've got to get revelation in the secret place. We've got to get off Facebook sometimes. We've got to get away from the Lord. We've got to get away from the world. Focus on the Lord. God, we choose to make you the center. Just hear God saying, I'm coming to shake everything that can be shaken. I will shake America like never before. There's a great trembling that's coming. There's a fresh fear of the Lord that will return to this land. I'm going to tear down ministries to save men. Let's hear the Spirit of God saying, I'm about to unravel the thread that man has sewn. God, in the midst of the tearing down, I'm asking that you would raise up an army of intercessors and a new breed of messengers that will truly make it all about you. Let us die to our names. Let us die to our churches. Let us die to whatever even we think you've called us to. Let's make it all about you. I hear that song. I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I've made it. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. Come and crucify our pride, Lord. Overestimating our own importance. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I feel like there's refreshing in the room tonight. There's a renewing of our minds. I feel like the Lord is saying that some of us need to get saved again. Some of us need to recommit again. Like the Lord is saying, there's grace for some of us that have become distracted, that are busy. What I'm asking for grace right now. He's doing it right now all over this room. I just encourage you, just focus on you. Clear the clutter. Repent of whatever you need to repent of. Clear it out. We love you, Lord. We need you, Lord. Jesus, we welcome you to the church that you died for. Lord, we thank you that you love your body. You love your body. You love your people. Lord, we're sick. The church is dying. We need you to come and heal us. We need you to come and deliver us. We need you to come and open up our eyes of how much we really need you, Lord. Remove the blindness from our eyes. It was a holy moment. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Just take a step toward Him tonight. Hear God saying, come. Come. Come those who are thirsty. Come those who are hungry. Come and drink from the river of life. I've got a river of life flowing down in me. You are the life, Lord. You are the way, Lord. You are the truth, Lord. There's no one like you. We don't have anyone we can compare to you. There's no one like our God. You're the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You're the bright morning star. You're our strong tower that when we grow weary, we can run to you. You're Alpha and you're Omega. You're the beginning and you're the ending. You're our living hope. You're our ever-present help in time of need. You're Jehovah Rapha. You're Jehovah Nisi. There's no one like our God. Holy Spirit, draw us now. Holy Spirit, reveal Jesus to us. In a world that's shaking, let your church not be shaken. In a world that's hopeless, fill our lives with your hope, Lord. It's all about Him. It's all about Him. Without Him, we're nothing. Without Him, life is vanity. like the Lord is saying, I'm revealing inappropriate foundations. I'm revealing where you've built on the sand. And I'm inviting you to build upon the rock of who I am. I'm revealing where you've built upon the sand. I'm inviting you to build upon the rock of who I am. I am the rock of ages. I am the Ancient of Days. Build on me, and you will never be shaken. Coming back for a pure and spotless bride. He's coming back for a church that has dove's eyes. He's coming back for a bride that does simple and pure-hearted devotion. Let us not be led astray as Eve was led astray. By the cunningness and craftiness of men and their meaning. Keep hearing God say there's a mighty shaking that's coming to this nation. The church must become the lighthouse. What are we offering people? Who are we introducing people to? It's time to reevaluate. It's time to take inventory. It's time to examine ourselves once again. You stand up on the end. Yeah. Just put out your hands to the Lord like this. The Lord says that, Son, I have put my spirit inside of you, and I've called you to be a minister of my truth. For it's only my truth that will set men free, not their compromise. And I have called you to be a man of covenant in the midst of a generation of compromise. And I see a call to ministry on your life. I believe that God has called you to be a teacher, a pastor of His Word. God has called you to influence many. I just hear God saying that there's a shaking that's coming to the people group around you. And as you watch them shake because they won't know where to go, hear God saying, son, I'm going to use you to connect your friends. I'm going to use you to connect your family to the one where when they drop anchor in me, they will never be shaken. The Lord says, I'm with you. I'm going to be with you at college. I'm going to be with you in the years ahead. I'm going to use your life like a testimony, like a trophy of my grace, and you'll impact many. It's a great influence coming in the days ahead. But God would say to you, choose wisely. Choose wisely, son. Choose wisely how you live, how you act. Choose wisely who you'll even marry. I'm going to entrust you with much, son. There's a heavy, heavy responsibility that God is going to give you in the days ahead, and he will provide much grace to you. The weight of what God has called you to is a great burden to you. It feels heavy on some days. And God says, I will give you grace after grace after grace to carry what I've called you to do. I feel like the Lord is saying that you're going to be like a family counselor. A strong counseling anointing on you. The spirit of wisdom and understanding is upon you. So Lord, we just thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. You know, this is why real revival is hard to step into. Because in order to step into real revival, the church has to confess, God, what we're doing isn't working. So what would it take for revival to hit the American church? It would take leaders and saints down on their knees saying, the programs aren't working. God, there's a church on every corner in America, and we've murdered 70 million babies. There's a church on every corner, and we've legalized homosexual marriage. There's a church on every corner, and we've taken prayer out of school. There's a church on every corner, and racism is just as alive today as it ever was. But there's no way prideful people will make that confession. The greatest enemy of revival is pride. If my people, called by my name, will humble themselves, it's conditional. We want the rain, we want the outpouring, we want the revival, but no one wants to repent. All right, so I hope we're feeling the weight and the grip of just the ache of Bluefield, the ache in the nation, the groans telling you the earthquakes are coming, the hurricanes are coming, the riots are coming. His glory is going to come too, but darkness is coming. And God is going to expose, out of his kindness of his heart, he is about to expose who and what people really trust in. My prayer is, Lord, don't let it have to get to crisis for me to wake up and say, hello, I need to get right. It's my fear for this nation, my fear for my life and yours, is it's going to take some great tragedy to wake up the church and get right with. I don't want my mom to have to die of cancer for me to say, okay, it's time to serve the Lord. I don't have to wait to that funeral. I don't have to wait to that. I was at my cousin's funeral. You know, he got saved as a 12-year-old and lived a life of fornication and drinking and all these things. And, you know, he died in a alcohol-related situation. And, you know, we get to the funeral and, you know, there's hundreds of young people. And, you know, it's all about, you know, him being in heaven. And I'm sitting there thinking, really? How do you know? Just because you said a prayer at 12 years old and lived like hell doesn't mean you got into heaven. I mean, what is it going to take in your life for you to get serious about God? What kind of rattling and shaking is it going to take for you and I in this nation to wake up and really believe that there's a real Jesus that's going to split the sky, that he's going to come for his church, and every one of us is going to meet fire? For those who don't know him, they're going to meet hellfire. And for those of us who do know him, we're going to meet a fire that's going to burn up everything that was of us. And everything that's left standing is what we'll be rewarded for. But I want to encourage you, choose wisely how you build. Does anyone in this room feel like you need to rededicate your life to the Lord? Does anyone in this room feel like you need to make a fresh commitment to pursue the Lord? I don't want to move out of these divine moments in time without opening up an opportunity for anyone. Again, I'm just not talking about, you know, if you went here and you got hit and died, do you know where you'd spend eternity? I'm talking about more than that. Is there anyone in this room that you know God has called you to a place in him that you're not there yet? Maybe there's sin in your life, there's resistance, there's the works of the flesh, and you want to say, you know what, Lord, tonight I'm going to take a stand. Tonight I'm going to say, Lord, I don't want to wait for I don't want to wait for a diagnosis. I don't want to wait for bad news. I want to trim my lamp. I want to have oil burning tonight. Like the Lord, there's an urgency tonight of don't wait. So that he comes and we're unprepared. Don't wait so that when he calls upon you, you're not ready because you're fooling around. Don't wait so that when someone needs you, you can't help them because you're just playing church. It's time to get right with God. It's time to come before him and say, Lord, I give you my all. Lord, I say yes again. If that's you, I want you to stand to your feet right now. If you're sensing that call, maybe it's to salvation. Maybe that call is there's areas in my life that I know that he's coming after. I want you to stand right now. Again, I want to be very honest with you. The thing that's going to keep you from standing is your pride. It's going to take a humble people to confess, I'm not where I need to be with God, and I don't care who knows. Anyone else? Come on, don't stand for me. I'm leaving tomorrow. Stand for the Lord if that's what He's telling you to do. All right, I want you to just lift up your hands to the Lord. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask that You would come right now. The fire of the Holy Spirit and the fear of the Lord. God, would You come with Your fire? Would You come with Your fire, God? Would You mark us? God, would You brand us? God, we lift up our lives to You. You know the secret things. You know the things done behind the scenes. And God, we're just availing ourselves to You. We've come to rend our hearts tonight and not our garments. God, we've come to get right with You. All over the room, I want to encourage you to confess whatever is in your life that's hindering you from going deeper in God. I want you to confess it right now and repent of it in the name of Jesus. Only You know. The Bible says that as we repent of our sin, God is faithful to come and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So as you repent, know that God is beginning to bring refreshing. Repentance brings refreshing. Confession brings cleansing. Lord, come and wash us. Come and bring deliverance. I break the power of pornography in this room in the name of Jesus. I bind all perversion and all lust in the name of Jesus. We declare that the blood of Jesus is stronger than all sin. We shut every door that may lead to evil right now in the name of Jesus. Close those doors. Come on, right now, reach out and shut those doors in the name of Jesus. No, in the name of Jesus. I just bind every antichrist spirit in this room. Every spirit that's opposing Jesus, I command to leave our bodies and leave our minds and our hearts in the name of Jesus. We release the dominion and the authority of the King in this room. And we command all foul and evil spirits to leave our minds, our hearts, and our bodies right now in the name of Jesus. You thank Him right now. In your own words, if you're standing, just begin to thank Him. Thank Him for what He's done. Thank Him for what He's going to do. Thank Him for the path that's being cleared out before you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're worthy, Lord. You're worthy, Lord. We say that there's none like You. There's no one like our God. There's no one like our God. He knows every hair on our head. He knows when we sit and when we rise. He perceives our thoughts from afar. He knows our comings and our goings. Nothing is hidden from His sight. Thank You, Lord. We thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I feel led to sing Amazing Grace. but I can't sing. So I figure if we all sing together, those of us who can't sing will be blended in with those who can sing.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but
Lord, let us never forget where we came from, what you brought us from. Let your mercy and your grace be just as fresh today as it was when we first got saved. I'm done. I'll give you the answers later. There's no way we're going back there. We stand to your feet. I feel like that new father or the newborn baby comes home and it's such a wonder you don't even want to touch it. And I honestly feel like the Lord is, it's like something is happening, something so new and so fresh. I feel like I would err if I would do anything more than what he's already done. I want to encourage you to come back in the morning. What time is service, Doyle? 11. Come back at 11 a.m. and I'm going to be sharing a word from the Lord that I believe he's given me for this community of believers. I believe we'll have some personal ministry time and I'll run and get on the plane. But I want to pray us out. And then whatever Doyle wants to do. He says, whatever. All right, grab the hand of the person next to you. Am I crazy or is God here? I mean, I feel like, whoa. I guess I want to just shut up and sit down, but let's pray. Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus, we thank you and we bless your name. We say, worthy. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. We say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty who was and is to come. Lord, we stand in awe. We stand in awe of you, Lord. We proclaim your mighty, your majestic works. Lord, we choose tonight to build upon who you are. We say that we serve a kingdom and a God that cannot be shaken. Lord, I'm asking in Bluefield, West Virginia, that a rock solid church built upon the person of Jesus Christ, let it be founded and built here like never before. Lord, I'm asking that you would draw the saints from the north, the south, the east, to the west. Let them come to this church, not for a man or a ministry or a conference. Let them come because Jesus is here. Let this be a place of encounters with Jesus that leave men and women changed and transformed forever. Heaven and earth are passing away, but your word remains. Lord, I pray for deep sleep. Pray for heavenly visions. God, I continue to pray for a prophetic spirit, a prophetic anointing. Revelation 19:10. The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. That's what's happened here tonight. The spirit of prophecy has came and testified concerning Christ. Jesus, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Would you just stay where you are in an attitude of prayer? Would you give me that? I promised Sandy I would pray over this, and I want you to, she's going to send this to her grandchild. Would you pray over this with me? You're talking about raising prophetic kids, so I just, if the Lord can use a prayer cloth or something like that, she's going to send this to her grandchild, and we just want to pray over her grandchild. Father, we just thank you now for this child. Lord, we thank you that the plans of the enemy life will come to nothing. Lord, right now we join our faith. If one puts 1,000 to flight, Lord, two. And the amount that's in this room, God, puts thousands to flight. So, Lord, we ask right now for a hedge of protection to be placed around this grandson. Lord, we thank you right now that the spirit and the prophetic anointing of God would begin to be operative in his life. And Lord, that you would begin to cleanse and clear every hindrance to his life. And that you would bring him into a place of protection so that the seed of destiny that's within him would come to fruition. I declare peace now, Lord, into this situation. No fear, no anxiety, but peace. Perfect peace, God. Right now, Lord, over this grandmother, I say, be at peace. It's the God of peace that crushes Satan. It's not the God of toiling or striving or worrying. It's the God of peace that crushes Satan. So as you walk in the peace of God, you defeat the enemy and his strategy. So, Lord, I declare peace over this child right now, God. The peace of God will cause every situation to come into alignment. And we just release the power and the presence of God. Cause the child, Lord, to dream. Cause the child, Lord, to operate in the spirit of wisdom and revelation. The child will rise up and teach the parents, Lord. The child will speak to the parents because revelation will come. We release that right now, Lord, the spirit of wisdom and revelation. In Jesus' name. I don't know what you say or you do after this. I can tell you this. I think you need to pray for America. I'll leave you with that thought. I think you need to intensify your prayers over the nation. Thank you for being here. It's been awesome so far. Do not miss tomorrow. Tomorrow we'll probably do things a little differently. I think the Lord has set that up tonight. So be here in the morning. It's going to be good. So thank you for being here. Have a blessed evening.